Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So did you see what happened in D.C.?
Oh, what's that?
I think this is just very telling of where this country is going. So this could be a very interesting decade. The liberal police chief of Washington, D.C., because, you know, what other kind would Washington, D.C. have, right?
Exactly, yeah.
The liberal police chief of Washington, D.C. is doing a very illogical thing, even for a liberal. He'd been with the D.C. police force for 31 years, worked his way up. He's from D.C. He's stepping down from his job, which pays him $300,000. He will become the police chief of Prince William County, Virginia, and earn a salary of $200,000.
Gee. That's
a big pay cut, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, would, he wants out of there, doesn't he?
I'd be happy with the difference.
Yeah, me too. But for him, okay. Why is he leaving? I mean, and again, this guy's like, he's a liberal. I mean, he was all, you know, kneeling with George Floyd's death and the whole nine yards, right? So he's, I mean, he's not red. Let's put it that way. The final straw, he says, was the council's decision to cut $15 million from the police budget. Accused the D.C. City Council of abandoning his force. Noted that victims of homicide were getting lost in the conversation over police changes and decried the council's move as a knee-jerk reaction to demonstrators, was so disturbed by what's going on in D.C. with the depolicing that he is willing to take a $100,000 a year pay cut to get the heck out of there.
So he wants to go someplace where he can do his job.
Yeah. And this guy is again, a liberal police chief. I mean, so what does this say? Even liberal chiefs are fleeing the blue areas. Remember Carmen Best? Never forget that story as long as I live. She's another liberal police chief, Seattle. Do you remember when the thugs came to her house?
Oh, yeah.
And she's black, too, and liberal. I mean, she's not conservative. And the thugs came to her house, and her neighbors, she's lived in a very racially diverse neighborhood, so the pictures there, I'll never forget, you know, carrying high-caliber weapons, chasing them off. Black and white neighbors. The thugs were white. They were demanding a conversation with her. They had backpacks.
So, they were Antifa types that were white that are
right.
Protesting for racial justice
at a black
that
woman's
were
house.
At a black woman's house who was the police chief.
Right, and was chased off by black and white neighbors.
Multiracial
neighbors.
Property owners.
Right.
That, okay.
They had brought cans of paint. I'm sure they wanted to do their nails. No, they were going to do her house. So she was outraged by this, remember? And she said that she challenged the Seattle City Council, condemn this. They're coming to my house. And they wouldn't. They wouldn't condemn it. Council wouldn't condemn it. So she quit. She's out of there. And so this is going on. You got to wonder how this is going to affect the country long term. Because when businesses can't, when they live in lawless areas where you can't determine what the law is anymore and what's expected of you, you're going to go. You're not going to stay in these areas.
No.
And this is the same. It's dual justice is what it is. I mean, these are post-American, post-constitutional territories like D.C., like Seattle. And what you know, what's happening here with election law and criminal law is that laws are applied now or applied in the extreme or not applied at all, depending on the political leanings of the groups they're applied to. You can't do business in an area where, you know, the police chief regularly lets the mob rampage down your street and maybe burn it down if they feel like it. But yet the same city council who allows that is confident in the knowledge that the police will come when they call. So I'm telling you, what you're going to see here is a mass exodus from blue areas and from cities in general. Now that, you know, you've got COVID and people have learned, businesses have learned, hey, listen, I don't need all this office space. You can work from home. That'll save me money. That'll save you money. We're all good. And people are like, oh, good. I don't need to live near a city. I didn't like it anyway. And I'm just predicting. I mean, the masses are going to flee with these police chiefs. Before Thanksgiving, and I should have made a bigger deal of this, largest ever move out of New York ever recorded. Listen to this. City residents of New York City alone filed 295,103 change of address requests. That's one per household. 295,000 of those. So the actual number of people moving is massive.
Yeah, probably like a million.
That's just New York City. So since, again, the single address change could represent an entire household. That, by the way, that was just 8 months worth of data. And it represents the highest outbound move rate ever recorded from New York. Ever. And of course, they're saying New York Post, hey, that's, you know, it's COVID policies crushing businesses and then just the criminal chaos that's been allowed in New York.
Yeah. How are these liberal policies working out?
Not so good.
No, not so good.
So we got two things going on, and I'm thinking this is going to be a fascinating decade to watch. So we've got two things going on. We've got people decoupling from actual physical workspaces.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, look downstairs, right? You go downstairs here, it's dark. Yeah. Isn't it freaky? Have you gone downstairs?
Yes, occasionally I do. I mean, other than going through the stairs to you know, get up to the second floor where our studios are, yeah.
I mean, there used to be a bustling sales staff down there. Now the lights aren't even on.
Yeah, and I will actually say it. I miss those folks.
And I haven't seen them in ages. I could barely pick them out of a lineup at this point. But, I saw one sales staffer the other day. She had shrunk, like, she lost like 15 pounds. She looks great. And I had no idea that it happened, you know? So now they're like, wow, okay, so we can all work from home. Well, guess what that's going to translate to? I would always, I've loved to live on a mountain. I think I'll do that. I'm getting out of the city. I hate the traffic. People don't have to be where they work anymore. And that's going to free them politically to leave these cities. I mean, I don't even know why you'd be in a city anymore. For a lot of, I mean, you know, for a lot of, obviously, if you're in healthcare or something, you've got to be where you are. But this is going to be huge.
Yeah.
And particularly when you see Joe Biden and the Democrats take over, especially if they win those Senate seats. I mean, they got a bill in the Senate right now to disarm police departments across the country.
Which is unconstitutional, but then what does that matter?
Right, well, but if you get the two Senate seats, you could just remake the Supreme Court and then Katie bar the door. It's constitutional is whatever they say on Tuesday at 4. I mean, it's just whatever. So, you know what's going to happen when that happens. I mean, you and I have been talking about this for years. You could pass all the bills you want through the Senate saying the police force is basically disarmed. You think these sheriffs, they're just going to laugh at Congress.
No, that's,
they're just going to like, okay, you and what army, you come down here and make us. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
There aren't enough federal DOJ officers to come after
all
these
will
departments.
Be enough.
No, there aren't. Thank God.
There won't be enough. No.
And so what'll happen is people go, okay, where am I going to be safe? Where can I run my business with reasonable law enforcement expectations? And the businesses are going to go there. They're going to follow these sheriffs and mayors and people who are willing to enforce the law, to have predictable laws. We don't just ignore the law in the vote counting hundreds of thousands of times. Elections can be trusted. It's not about banana republic. Wherever that is, if you can figure that out and invest there, then property values are going to be thrown upside down all over this country. I mean, if you live in a blue city, I mean, get out. Like, sell.
Well, it will financially collapse.
It will financially
collapse.
Because
if you stop having people, if people are moving out wholesale, a lot of these large metropolitan areas, then the tax base is going away, property values are going down, lack of business taxes because the businesses are not making any money there, then... And of course, they attract people to these cities because they have mass transit that is paid for by the government. Well, you know, why should we in South Carolina be, you know, funding New York City transit? Just tell me why. No one's funding my ride into work. I fund that completely.
Yep.
And then have to pay taxes for the right to have the vehicle and to use the roadway and to fuel my vehicle. Nobody's funding anything for me. Why should we be funding it for them? So you're going to see a financial collapse if this trend continues.
Right. And I think part of what will drive it, too, is businesses just going, you know, we can't do COVID again. We don't know what these people are going to do in terms of shutting down businesses. I mean, we thought nobody had the right to shut down our business except the health department. We've learned differently. And people just going to be like, this is, you know, this is out of control. And so when you see police chiefs leaving major U.S. cities like this. And taking a $100,000 pay cut to go.
Taking a pay cut to do it, yeah, exactly.
To get out of D.C. Yeah. People are going to follow them to where the chaos is not. I honestly, I think we're going to see Grapes of Wrath, like, level of movement in this country like we've never seen before. And politics will drive some of it, and just the need for a safe environment that's predictable. And that's increasingly not in big cities.
No.
Which is going to be interesting. Here's another thing that's interesting. See, OAN got kicked off YouTube. One American News. Yeah, they got kicked off YouTube for a week for alleged fake news. That's where you tell the truth when no one else does.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's fake news. So they got kicked off for a week. And so now you have Democrat politicians demanding they're permanently kicked off. I'm just wondering, if these two Senate seats are won by Democrats, right? And look, people aren't stupid. 75% of Republicans, 30% of Democrats, and 30% of independents believe this election was stolen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it. If the election was stolen and people believe that, especially inside the boardrooms, then that means you're not going to be able to undo this. Democrats are going to have a permanent majority, right?
Well,
so these big businesses are going to try to get along with them. They're going to kowtow to them. What happens to OAN and Newsmax when they want to be on, I don't know, Dish? On cable.
Yeah.
And the Democrats don't want them there.
Right.
And they have absolute power.
Right.
And they're not going to lose, no matter how we vote. Think how much power pulling off a steal gives you. More power, I would argue, than even winning the election, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And all these businesses, nobody's saying anything in this country because no one says anything that's real anymore. But behind closed doors, they're making these calculations and they're watching carefully. And I think it's all about to hit the fan in ways we can't even imagine right now.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Everybody's looking for the Kraken, but you can't find the Kraken if you don't have the Discovery. That is the documents, the ballots, the hard drives, the machines, stuff inside the machines. I don't even know, but elections experts would. You got to get that stuff before you can find the fraud. Everybody's looking at Trump going, he's got to find a fraud. I'm like, can somebody just explain for just 1 minute that you can't? And what's been fascinating with these judges' lawsuits, this is the weirdest thing to me. Because what's inside that Board of Elections, what's on those computers is practically FOIA stuff. I mean, it comes under a higher level of scrutiny. And yet they haven't been able to get a hold of it. Everyone's going, well, Trump's got to prove. Well, he can't. And that's where not having the support of the GOP leadership is really hurting him. He needed it desperately. And when you start going down the list of who's not saying something, it's pretty shocking, the list. Mitch McConnell, not a word. Nothing. But Tom Cotton, nada. Nikki Haley, nope. Marco Rubio, nah. Tim Scott, whatever. He's practically a Democrat. And at the beginning of the hour, you heard Lindsey Graham saying, shockingly, exactly what I've been saying. This is not rocket science. We don't have to unleash the Kraken. Although it would be nice. But we don't. I mean, it would be nice. We need to follow the law in Georgia. And the law in Georgia says members of both parties can challenge ballots. Which means members of both parties are supposed to be able to stand at the table and see the ballots. Like, actually see them. Because in every state, as we've seen in the affidavit, every one of the swing states, the same thing. Big slugs of ballots, some of them bought in on vans and trucks, middle of the night after the Republicans went home or were kicked out. Ballots that weren't folded, ballots that were printed on paper that was different from the paper that the legit absentee ballots were printed on, that were mailed out by the Board of Elections. Do you realize Republicans in Georgia have yet to get their hands on those ballots? They are supposed to be able to go through every single one and challenge them, as Lindsey Graham has pointed out. So Graham's walking around going, look at her. the deal that DeLaw in Georgia says you can challenge. We need bipartisan challenge. Yeah, I know we do. It's the law. But they're not going by the law. And so what the liberal media will tell you, oh, there's going to be challenges. They're going to check the signature. No, somebody inside the Board of Elections is going to check the signatures. That'd be the same somebody's that resulted in a 0.03 rejection rate when normally it's around 3.4. That's the margin of victory for Trump. And this is what's astonishing, folks. And this is why people really need to wake up. And I don't think anybody's getting this. Lindsey Graham is, shockingly. And I can't thank him enough for being a brave advocate, the only one in GOP leadership. I don't understand this. I'm saying, wait, listen, we got laws in the books that say we can challenge these. You can't keep us out of the polling place. But they are. Which results in this. These numbers are astonishing. This is from Patrick Basham's column in the American Spectator. He is a pollster with the Democracy Institute. You've probably seen his polls. Biden broke two records. He won 13 million more votes than Obama. And a record low of 17% of counties. Now, how does that happen? Come on. Biden won just 524 counties, which is really weird. Because Obama won 873 counties in 2008. Wait, you're driving. What? Obama won 873 counties in 2008. He did a little worse in 2012. He won only 689. How many did Biden win again? 524. He won 13 million more votes. That is really, really weird. I mean, how's that even possible? It isn't. That's the problem. Especially when you consider that Trump won the highest share of all minority votes for Republicans since 1960. He grew his support among black voters by 50% over 2016. Nationally, Joe Biden's black support fell well below 90%, the level where most Democrat presidential candidates usually lose, except one thing. Black support for Joe Biden was pretty much the same everywhere, except critical cities that he just happened to need to win in critical swing states that just happened to shut down in the middle of the night after Trump surged by a minimum of 3 points. And during the shutdown, with no GOP observers, it flipped to Biden. So black voters only voted for Biden at rates higher than Barack Obama in key swing states, in key swing counties, but voted for Joe Biden at rates lower than Barack Obama everywhere else. Mm-hmm. He got 13 million more votes. That is so weird. You know why? Because it's not possible. See, it's stuff like this that the GOP leadership could have used to say, listen, we're uncomfortable with the results here. Hey, let's have a forensic audit before we certify these races. But because they didn't, it's going to happen again. I don't know if Trump's ever even going to be able to get this discovery. Now he's left to fight with it in court. The legislatures could have demanded it. But that's gone now. Which means we're not going to catch him at it. It's so frustrating. Gonna jump to the common sense retirement planning text line, see if there's any common sense on there. Texter writes, POTUS Trump lost when he failed to take back control of the DOJ, FBI, CIA, and DOD. He has no tools. That's interesting. You know, you could look at it that way. You can also argue that he had limited ability to do that because even the Republicans would have tried to stop. I mean, let's look at how we got to where we are right now. The biggest problem in this election was election officials ignoring the law. Again, we used one of the examples this morning. We've been through so many of them. I know poor Doug Collins down in Georgia is just screaming, wait, we did a recount with Republicans still illegally barred from challenging ballots. Or even seeing them. And he says, this is not legal. I mean, this recount doesn't count. It doesn't matter. We just ignore the law now. In Michigan, you got Board of Elections members just sending out 355,000 ballots, absentee ballots, that were never requested. Every one of those is a violation of the law. You could say it's a crime. Who did it? Who sent them out? Whose decision was that? Where'd they go? They should be impounded. Love to know who they were sent to. Will we ever? Probably not. the kind of thing the FBI voter rights section used to be interested in. I mean, the DOJ voter rights section used to be interested in. But how do we end up here? I mean, the real problem in this election, we'd have caught a lot of this ballot fraud if Republicans were allowed to the table. They had to break the law in every one of these states to bar them. It was so bad in Detroit, you should see the video of people just jeering in the counting station as the Republicans are escorted out in violation of the law and nothing happens. Where'd they get the idea they could do that? Well, this texter's right. Trump lost when he failed to take back control of the DOJ, FBI, CIA, and DOD. Yes, that's part of it. But where else did they get this idea? From Republican leadership. Think about what happened in Congress. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Four separate investigations of Trump Russia, none of Hillary. And that was when the Republicans controlled the House and the Senate. That's what Mitch McConnell did. And so the FBI, the DOJ, the CIA, and the DOD, and the Democrats, but then I repeat myself, all learned that it was okay to violate laws, ignore laws, do whatever the heck you feel, as long as you're going after Trump. They learned that. And they had broken many laws. We learned that too. In fact, they lied under oath to Congress, both the House and the Senate, about the origins of the investigation. Criminally lied under oath. Felony. We've been through all of it. Sign their names, felony under penalty of perjury. Then we find out in John Brennan, former CIA chief's own handwriting, that Hillary launched the whole thing in July of 2016. She made it up. And that the FBI colluded with a Russian spy and Hillary and Fusion GPS to put it together. It's all a lie. They lied to the FISA court. They lied to everybody. They broke laws to do it. We know that. One guy's been indicted. One low-ranking FBI officer. But you know what they learned? They could do anything to Trump. Break any law. Most of them anyway. I mean, nobody knows where the limit is still. And the GOP would ignore every one of those. They just ignore it. I mean, it got so bad. Let me just remind you, it got so bad that the Intelligence Committee of Congress, Devin Nunes, would order the FBI to turn things over. And the FBI would say, well, not unless Paul Ryan makes us. No, sir, you have the order. You have the subpoena. You've got it from the Intelligence Committee. You got to turn it over. And laws don't mean anything to us. GOP doesn't make them mean anything. And they were like, well, not unless Paul Ryan says it's okay for us to turn it over. And then they dragged it out the whole summer, remember? And Paul finally said they had to turn it over, but everybody laughed and nobody did. Over 32 sets of data requested from the FBI and never turned over. And that doesn't even count Hillary's devices that the FBI destroyed on her behalf that were under subpoena by Congress. That's illegal. Those are crimes. You can't destroy evidence under subpoena by Congress. But they did. And the Democrats watched and learned, and they went, wow. You know this little small-time local election fraud we used to do? Why don't we bust that up to the national level? I mean, who's going to stop us? Bill Barr? Nah. They watched closely. They watched closely as Bill Barr promised that he was going to have something on Russiagate by the spring. He promised that. And then the spring rolled around, there was nothing. And then the fall rolled around, and Bill Barr said, well, that would interfere with the election, so I can't do it. Sorry, no can do. They knew they were off the hook. And they knew the Republicans were fine with whatever they did, and they learned that. They've learned that in the last, I don't know, four years. So they simply said, well, I guess we could do election fraud, too. And they did. And I'm not talking about the Democrat Party, even, per se. I'm talking about these boards of elections. I'm sure the Democrats did it too. But I can only talk about what I can prove. And again, today, we're just picking on Michigan today. We could do any state if we wanted to. They did the same thing in Pennsylvania. Illegally mailing out 355,000 ballots in violation of the law. Nobody requested them. They were supposed to get a form with a signature, a witness, and a address. They didn't. They didn't bother. And then that was going so well, they created an online form where you just check a box and you can have an absentee ballot. Wait, that's illegal. I know. But they sent them anyway. Over 30,000 of them. Those ballots are legal. Yeah, who cares? Framing the president in the coup is illegal too. The Republicans were fine with that. This is how we ended up here. All of it, the sum total of the last 4 years. And now we're at a state of such lawlessness, I have to ask, if Board of Elections officials decide they're just going to do what they want, who will stop them? And you know what's coming next? I'll tell you what's coming next, because we're already watching it in New York, and this is jaw-dropping. If liberal judges can just rewrite laws, they're going to run legislatures slap over. If the laws on the books that the legislatures pass come in second to laws that judges rewrite, you can just write a law that lets you commit any kind of fraud. It was done in Pennsylvania, which is how we arrived at the situation where Democrats are currently stealing a House seat in New York. You know what they're doing? This is next. If a judge can do all of those things and Democrat Board of Elections folks can do all of those things in violation of law, why can't a judge just order a winner? A liberal judge, why can't a conservative judge can't do this? Why can't a liberal judge just order a winner in a case, in a race? One just did. It's going on North Carolina, I'm sorry, New York 22. She won by 30,000 votes on election night. Then a Democrat judge from Syracuse ruled that he would personally review all of the spoiled ballots that had been rejected. He decided he'd just count. Guess what? The judge miraculously found enough ballots. He felt we're okay. And the Democrat incumbent now leads by 13 votes. Well, you can't just insert yourself in an election and start counting ballots. You can't if no one objects. And this guy was trailing by over 28,000 votes on election night. See, this is the next step. We're going to live in a judicial dictatorship where boards of elections can do as they please. Any laws they want to break, okay, as long as it benefits a Democrat. And if that still doesn't produce the desired result, a judge will. Remember this, New York 22. This is the first time we've seen this. Won't be the last. Where a judge just simply enters the race and fixes it. Makes the decision that he and he alone will determine which ballots count and which do not. Law be damned. And you know what's weird? It's like once they steal your race from you, whether you are John James in Michigan or this poor woman from New York, you become an embarrassment. You become persona non grata to the Republican leadership. They drop you like a hot potato. So, I mean, if a judge can just get you 28,000 votes closer, why even bother to run in these areas anymore? Folks, we're going to end up only being able to win in really red areas with really red judges and really red boards of election because the rest is going to be the Wild West. But we've let them do this. Anybody got any ideas for how we take it back? Because I'm not entirely sure. I'm sort of at a loss here. Merriam-Webster and Dictionary.com just both announced their pick for Word of the Year 2020. They both went with pandemic. You surprised? I like dumb panic better, but whatever. Oh, and one of the Dictionary.com's runners-up sticks in my craw because it's a slur. A gender and racial slur, but whatever. Those are cool now. They're hip. As long as they apply to the right people. The word Karen, which gets on my nerves. Some of Merriam-Webster's runner-up words are coronavirus. Want to forget that one. Defund. Mamba, which was Kobe Bryant's nickname, also the name of his sports organization. Golly, seems like Kobe Bryant died just ages ago. Doesn't it? Kraken, which I don't think I'll ever get out of my lexicon. Asymptomatic, which goes nicely with the next word, malarkey. Some of Dictionary.com's runner-up words for 2020. Can you imagine how like wild it would be to have seen this list of words like and not know the meaning of them at the beginning of the year? Why are we talking about pandemic, quarantine, social distancing? Yeah. Some of Dictionary.com's runners-up are quarantine, social distancing, conspiracy theory, doom-scrolling. Doom-scrolling. Super spreader. And Karen, which gets on my nerves. So there you go. That pretty much encapsulates the entire dang year. which I don't know about you, but I wish I could forget. You know, when we, with, I'm going to get into some of this on the podcast today. By the way, you can get the podcast by texting Battleground to 71307. When we look at this year, this whole thing, now that we know that deaths are not have not gone up significantly this year from COVID, in other words, it had no effect on the deaths. Do you realize how far they went to get rid of President Trump? Because that's what COVID was about. It's going to vanish like gorillas in the mist. It will. When they don't need it anymore, it's going to be gone. They'll replace it with something else. We're already finding everything about it is fake. I mean, look, it's been 2 weeks since the mask study that showed masks don't work. Largest ever mask study. You think that would have been a big news, but nobody knows. Even though it was published in the Annals of Medicine, of Internal Medicine. I mean, big name, highly credible medical journal. Nobody knows. Or it's like they don't know. Or it's like nobody ever published it. Or it's like science doesn't matter. Not when there's a bigger goal. And this whole year was one big play to get rid of Donald Trump. I've never seen a party go so far or try so hard or tell so many lies. Or alter so many lives. And look at this study right here. This is another one I had in my stack. Just the price of this. 80% of parents with young kids say they are, quote, heartbroken that their family members have missed some of the kids' big milestones during the dumb panic, according to a new survey. The most common ones they've missed are birthdays and a child's first word. Yeah, my dad, even though he's got a heart issue, he had to deal with this. He stayed away for a while in the beginning because of COVID, and he still hangs the moon for my youngest one. You know, that age goes fast, and then you're just an adult, and, you know, roll the eyes, right? So he finally said, you know what, I'm not spending the rest of my life like this. I'm going to come visit you, and if I get sick, I get sick. And he has. He's been back to visit us. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Nobody's sick. We all survived. He just said, I'm not missing it anymore. I'm not. They love to sit for hours. My dad is a photographer, and he takes pictures, and he's just got books after books after books, and they just love to sit there and go through them, and my son is fascinated, and he's like, I'm not missing it. I don't care. If I get sick, I get sick. If I die, I die. I'm 78. I live with it. This year has taken a lot out of us. And it turns out for not much reason. If the Johns Hopkins study is to be believed. And I believe it. Other people are going to duplicate that. Texture writes, Tara's go. Oh, God, see, I knew this, y'all. Tara's going Karen over Karen. So wrong. So wrong.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.